And I'm going to read verses 2 to 6. Verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I thought we'd spend a few moments looking at these verses, not in great detail, but I want to pick up on a number of things that the Apostle says here. Back in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul impresses upon the believers in Corinth that Jesus is Lord over all creation, and indeed his church. And if we look at chapter 3, and the first part of chapter 4, we will see that Paul speaks to the believers in Colossae, telling them how they are to live under the lordship of Christ. Well, as I say, our focus for a few moments is going to be on verses 2 to 6, where Paul spells out the responsibilities believers have towards making the gospel known to those outside the church. If you look at verse 2, you will see that there is here a general exhortation to pray. Prayer should be a regular part of the Christian life. And I don't think there's going to be any effective evangelism apart from prayer. So we should be those who are devoted to prayer. You'll see that Paul emphasizes a number of things there. Let me spell out three. Firstly, devote yourselves to prayer. As I was preparing, I thought, what people are there in the Old Testament that we see devoted to prayer? There are a number, but the one that came to my mind was Daniel, probably because I've been reading the book of Daniel in my quiet times recently. Daniel, as we know, regularly opened his window and prayed to God three times a day. In the Gospels, we see the Lord Jesus regularly drawing aside from the crowds in order to pray to his heavenly Father. And when we look at the early church, we see in Acts 2 that prayer was one of those things that it devoted itself to. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, being watchful. Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane to watch and pray. And yet when he returned to them, having spent time in prayer to his heavenly Father, he discovered that they'd fallen asleep. They were clearly tired. Their eyelids were heavy. They were unable to stay awake. I wonder whether the Colossian believers had become a little bit sleepy. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. You see, we need, don't we, as Christians, to be alert. To be alert to the times in which we live. We need to be alert to the challenges that are presented to the church. We need to be watchful. He also goes on to say, and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. As we pray, we should express, shouldn't we, our thanks to God in prayer. Thankfulness should be very much part and parcel of our prayer lives. But I think as we express thanks to God in prayer for things that he has done in the past, that helps or stimulates or encourages us to petition God in the present. Sometimes I look back, not quite sure how long now, to Roy Woolman's conversion. Who among us would have thought that Roy Woolman would ever have been converted? It wasn't so many years ago now that I couldn't engage in any kind of spiritual conversation with him. It was always about cricket or this, that, and the other. And then the Lord worked in his life, and now he comes along regularly to house group. He prays. He loves coming to church. He loves talking about the Lord. Well, we give thanks to God for that, but that encourages us, doesn't it, to pray for conversions in the future. No one is too difficult for the Lord to save. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And then we look at verses 3 and 4. And here is an exhortation to pray for the Apostle Paul and his team. Pray for us, he says, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. As we read the New Testament, we see that God opened lots of doors for Paul to preach the mystery of Christ, or the gospel, which emphasizes that the good news is not simply for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. You may remember how Paul wanted to go and preach the gospel in Asia Minor, but for whatever reason, he wasn't able to go there. But then that the Lord spoke to him and told him to go to Macedonia, and he arrives in Philippi. Well, what wonderful opportunities he met with there to preach the gospel. It wasn't so long ago that we went on holiday to Thasos, and we had planned to go to ancient Philippi. I wanted to visit the place where Paul spoke to Lydia and the other women. But what a lovely story that is. How on that Sabbath day, Paul got to speak to those God-fearing women, and how the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to his message. She came to trust in the Lord Jesus. Then also in Philippi, Paul was able to preach the gospel to the Philippian jailer. And not only to him, but to his whole household. And all, it seems, were converted and baptized. I love what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. I like that. I'm chained, says Paul, but God's word is not changed. And you may remember that Paul, when he found himself in Rome, was able to preach the gospel to the whole palace guard. What an opportunity. He might have gone there thinking that his ministry had been curtailed. But even there, God opened up a wonderful door for his message. What does he go on to say? Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Pray that I may proclaim it faithfully. Pray that I may proclaim it in a way that people can understand. Well, if the Apostle Paul needed the believers in Colossae to pray that he might preach the gospel faithfully. How much more does your pastor need your prayers? With far less gifting than the Apostle Paul had. And how much do those who teach or preach from various, from time to time in the church here need our prayers? Prayer is so important, isn't it? And I think that C.H. Spurgeon was one who saw the importance of prayer when it came to the ministry at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Now, I was supposed to bring a book with me this evening so that I could quote from it. I've left it at home, but I can remember the gist of what I was intending to say. There was a gentleman once who visited the church, and Spurgeon took him down to the basement where there were, I think, hundreds of people praying. And he said to them, look, this is the powerhouse of the church. This is the reason for my successful ministry in the pulpit. And maybe that's something that the church today in the West needs to grasp afresh. You see, we tend to think that it's really down to the preacher and his ability to perform, to articulate things well from the front. But actually, salvation is the Lord's work, isn't it? And the preacher is simply a vehicle. He's an instrument in the hand of God. And therefore, we must pray that God would be pleased to use the ministry of his word to bring salvation to precious souls. Then very quickly, verses 5 and 6, they're a call, aren't they, for all to witness well to those in the community. We're not all called to be pastors. We're not all called to be teachers and evangelists. And perhaps some of you breathe a sigh of relief as you hear me say that. Speaking in public is not really your thing. But we are all called to be witnesses, aren't we, for the Lord Jesus in our daily lives and to make the most of every opportunity that we get to give a reason for the hope that is within us, whether that be at coffee cup or baby talk or wherever it might be. Be wise, says Paul. In the way you act toward outsiders, make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You know, we can't save anyone, can we? I can't save anybody. The Apostle Paul recognized that he couldn't save anyone. Neither could the great preacher Apollos. I'm sure you're familiar with these words, but let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. What, after all, is Apollos? All the Corinthians were praising him. Some of them thought much of him. He was their favorite preacher. But Paul says, what, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. All I can do is plant the seed. All you can do is plant the seed. But we look to God to make it grow. Well, we're looking to God this evening, aren't we? To add his blessing as we seek to be faithful in sowing the seed of his word here at Crockenhill Baptist Church. May God help us tonight as we seek to do that.